Today's daf is Zvachim daf Samach Alufi left off and daf Samach Beis, just to get us back in the conversation, just to recall that on the bottom of daf Samach Amar Aleph, the Gemara had a statement of Rabbi Elazar that when the Mizbech is Nifkam, when the Mizbech has a Pegima in it, you're not allowed to eat Shiyori Mincha while the Mizbech is Pagum. And then the Gemara had said, that's true of Shiyori Mincha, it's also true of Kachay Kachim. And the Gemara said, not only that, it's also true of Kachim Kalim, that while the Mizbech is Nifkam, you're not allowed to eat Kachim Kalim. And it was derived from the Drush of Rabbi Yossi, and because Rabbi Yossi learned three things in the names of three Zakenim, and one of them is going to be very important for this din, that Kachim Kalim cannot be eaten while the Mizbech is Nifkam, and it's going to come up again on today's daf, which is the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. That Rabbi Shmuel had a limud that in regards to Maaser Sheni, eating in Yerushalayim Bizman Hazeh, where he learned from what we thought was a double hekish, but we concluded yesterday by saying that it was not a double hekish of the basar and the dam of Kachim Kalim. So to the din of Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. So bottom line is, we learned that Rabbi Shmuel is the one who learned basar from dam, that it can't be eaten while the mizbeach is nifkam, that you're not allowed that kachim kalim are nifsal bepekimas hamizbeach. Fine, that's the drasha of Rabbi Yossi, and that's what he quoted from Rabbi Shmuel. So says the Gemara, we are now holding about let's say 8 lines before the end of the page. Roughly. So when Ravin came, he said over this teaching in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Which teaching? Says Rashi, Hada Baye Damar Kachim Kalim Nifsalim Bepekimas HaMizbech U'maisil HaMidrashat Rabbi Yossi. That which Abaye taught, that Kachim Kalim are Nifsal Bepekimas HaMizbech, that when the Mizbech is Pagum, you're not allowed to eat Kachim Kalim. And he brought the drasha of Rabbi Yossi as the raya, not really Rabbi Yossi's drasha, Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel's drasha. So that's what he said over. So Amar, so Rabbi Yirmiyah said, Bavloi tipshai, these unintelligent Babylonians, emtel diyasvi ba'ara chashucha amri shmaita d'mechashcha. He says it must be because they dwell in a dark land, that's why they say over teachings that are so dark, meaning what he's saying is incomprehensible, it's untrue. Lo shmielahu hadatanya, was he not familiar with the brisa? And what we're really about to quote is what seems to be a stira between two brisas, and what we presume to be the answer between the stira, the answer to the stira between the two brisas, and that presumed answer is going to go against Rabbi Yossi's din. So again, Rabbi Yossi's din is that kachim kalim cannot be eaten while the mizbeach is pagum, and obviously kal v'chomer while the mizbeach is not there, but certainly even while the mizbeach is pagum. So we're going to have two brisas whose resolution is going to be a problem for Rabbi Yossi, because after all, the Tanya we learned in the brisa bishas siluk masaos kachim nifsalin, that at the time when they took down the Mishkan and they brought and they were misalik the mizbechos to travel in the midbar, they would have to it was a makeshift operation. They would have to take down the whole structure, and including the kelim, and schlep along with everything. So during that time when the siluk masaos was going on, kachim nifsalin, the kachim became puzzle. The Zavim and Sarayim Mishtalchim Chutz L'Mechitza, and Zavim and Sarayim were sent outside of the Mechitza. So what does this mean? Says Rashi, Kachim Nefsalim Basar Kachay Kachim, the meat of Kachay Kachim, V'kasal Kadaitach Mibrei Silik HaMizbeachu. And we're assuming the reason it became puzzle was because there was no Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was being moved. So the lack of the Mizbeach is what ruined the Kachim. Now, note, the Brisa doesn't use the words Kachay Kachim. It just says Kachim. So as far as we know, this could be Kachay Kachim, it could be Kachim Kalim. Rashi is already foreshadowing what the presumed Yishuv of the two Brisas. We've only seen the first Brisa so far, but Rashi is already foreshadowing what the assumed resolution of the two Brisas is going to be by specifying Kachay Kachim. But in the meantime, it doesn't say that. It just says that when the Mizbeach was being moved, when the Mizbeach was moved out of its place, the kachim became possible. So says Rashi, midiktani v'zavin mitzrayim mishtalchin, when it says that the zavin and mitzrayim were sent outside of the camp, she'in mitzrayim nichnas l'digle ashvatim v'lo zav l'machne levim, the mitzrayim is not allowed to go in the area of the machne Yisrael, and a zav, while he's allowed to go into the machne Yisrael, is not allowed to go into the machne levia, no say aron, the machne levia were obviously those who carried the aron, k'damin l'kaman, afal pishon nasa, Oel Moed Hu. So what you see from there is that even though it was traveling, it still had a din of Oel Moed. From the fact that we throw the Zav and the Mitzora out of there, so we see that even while it's in transit, it's still considered Oel Moed. Alma, Nifsalim Dekamer Lavni B'Shum Demusali B'Yotzehu, Dol Oel Moed Chashavlei. Meaning what Rashi's trying to highlight for us is that of course, when the Mishkan is traveling, you're going to say the Kachem becomes Puzzle. But it's got nothing to do with the Mizbeach. It's because it's a psul yotzei. If you take the bus or kachim and you bring it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Mishkan area, so then of course it's going to become pasul. It's a psul yotzei on the basar. So says Rashi, no, it's not a psul yotzei, because even while the Mishkan was traveling, it still had kedusha. It still was considered the Oel Moed. It still had the din of the Mishkan. So it wasn't a psul yotzei. Elamai, what's the psul? It must be a psul that it didn't have a mizbeach. That the Mizbeach was in transit. So the lack of the Mizbeach must be what's causing the problem for the Kachim. That's why when we quote this Brisa in this context, we don't just say Bishasilik Masos Kachim Nisalin. We add on that extra line of Zavim Mitzorayim Mishtalchim Chutz L'Mechitza. Because without that extra line about sending the Zavim and the Mitzorayim out, you could say, of course the Kachim are Nifsal, it's Psul Yotzei. But from the fact that we say, no, the Zavim and Mitzorayim are kept out even while traveling is a raya that it's not a psul yotzei, that the kedusha sol moed was retained even during the travels. So what's the psul of the kachim? It must be it's a psul that there's no mizbeach, that it's a lack of a mizbeach. So that's one brisa. That brisa certainly seems to highlight the idea that kachim will be ruined when there's no mizbeach. V'tanya idach, but there's another brisa. That kachim could be eaten in two places. Now, what does it mean in two places? Rashi points out, one in their rightful place when the Mishkan is where it belongs, and you know where else kachim could be eaten? Anywhere the Mishkan is traveling, wherever you're traveling along with the Mishkan. So Vakashina Dadi, it's a steer in the two brises, because the first brise said that while the Mishkan is in transit, you can't eat kachim, presumably because of the lack of Mizbeach. And the second brise says, while the Mishkan is in transit, kachim are totally okay. Even though the Mizbeach obviously is in transit as well, the Mizbeach is obviously taken down, it's obviously missing at that point. Nevertheless, kachim are okay. So what's the assumed resolution between these two brises? So says the Gemara, my love, and this is going to be the first of three possible resolutions between the two brises. My love, habekachim kachim, habekachim kalim. So isn't the way to resolve the two brises that the first brisa tells me that kachim cannot be eaten while the Mishkan is in transit is talking about kachim kachim, and the brisa that says that kachim is allowed to be eaten while the Mishkan is in transit is talking about kachim kalim. And therefore you see that the lack of a Mizbeach is going to ruin Kachim Kachim. When a Mizbeach is Nifgam, or worse yet, missing, then Kachim Kachim are going to become Pasul. But you also see from this resolution of the Brisos that Kachim Kalim does not become Nifsal with a Pekimas HaMizbeach, with a lack of a Mizbeach, or a blemish in the Mizbeach. So that's against the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. So when Rabbi Yirmiyah heard Rabbi Yossi's Shita, he said, how could the Babylonians say something so stupid? It's against an obvious resolution between these two Brisos, where the Brisos clearly assume that Kachim Kalim do not become Nifsal with Pekimas HaMizbeach. So in order to answer for Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara is going to say, well, maybe there are other ways to resolve this brisa without having to resort to the idea that kachim kalim may in fact be eaten b'pikimas hamizbeach. Maybe they cannot be eaten b'pikimas hamizbeach, but there are other resolutions to the brisa. So says the Gemara, Amar Ravina, possibility number two to explain these two brisas Idi vi idi be kachim kalim. Maybe both prices are talking about kachim kalim. Then that's only going to cause more problems for Rabbi Yossi, right? That it's kachim kalim apparently meaning it's not only it's going to cause more problems just because the two prices are sosar each other. Can kachim kalim be eaten while there's a mizbech, or can they not? The first price would imply no. The second price would imply yes. Velo kasha ha Rabbi Shmuel ha Rabbanan. No problem. It's machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbanan. Remember, Rabbi Yossi heard three things from three zakenim. Vizechad mehen, the Gemara said on the top of Samach Avin Beis. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, was Rabbi Shmuel's din that you're not allowed to eat kachim kalim without a mizbeach. So the brisa that tells us, the first brisa that says that they were not allowed to eat kachim while the Mishkan was in transit, that was going with the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, who Rabbi Yossi follows. The other brisa was going with the sheet of the Rabbanan, who Rabbi Yossi does not follow. And the Rabbanan in Achinami, we're not denying that there's a sheet that holds that kachim kalim may be eaten when there's no mizbeach. There is such a sheet, which has happened. Rabbi Yossi happens to not subscribe to that sheet, but that is the sheet of the Rabbanan. So that's not going to cause a problem for Rabbi Yossi. So that's how Rabbi Yossi would answer for himself. It's interesting the expression that's used of Hani Bavloi Tipshai Amtol Diasvi Ba'arach Hashucha, that they sit in a dark land and therefore their teachings are dark. Of all the terminology to use, why the terminology of a dark land? So they say Bavel was a valley, and valleys happen to be, meaning he was could be possibly just describing physically what Bavel was like, because it's in a valley, so that the actual direct sunlight you get is much less, and therefore you're always in the shade. It's a little bit darker in a valley, but also on a learning level, I think we've pointed out in the past that the Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos at the end says that that everywhere else is Isa. Well, Gemara in Kedushin says in regards to Yichus, but in terms of learning, the Gemara in Ksuvos says that Bavel is better than everywhere else in the world in terms of learning. And Eretz Yisrael is better than what does the Gemara say? That someone from Bavel is better even than someone from Eretz Yisrael, but someone who goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is twice as good as someone who's from Bavel in terms of learning. So the Netziv, in I think the first of his three Hakdamos to his Perish on the Sheiltos, explains that when it comes to the learning in Bavel and the learning in Eretz Yisrael, it was a completely different style. He says you need look no further than opening up any random page of a Talmud Bavli and any random page of a Talmud Yerushalmi to see the stark contrast in style between the learning in Eretz Yisrael and learning in Bavel. So you'll notice when it comes to Talmud Yerushalmi, you'll open it up, you'll have Mishnah, a few lines of Gemara, right, and then the next Mishnah already. In Talmud Bavli, sometimes you'll have 10, 15 Dapim of Gemara, or not always 10, 15, but you'll have several Dapim of Gemara, where the Gemara goes on tangents here and there and all over the place. So says the Netziv, it's because in Eretz Yisrael there was a greater clarity, there was a greater light, so to speak, there was a greater clarity in the learning, so they got straight to the point. In Bavel, it required much more amelus, it required much more pilpul, there wasn't this tremendous clarity. They had to work at it, they had to build up the binyan from scratch in order to get to any clear maskanas. And that's why they ended up going here and there and just being able to put together the entire sugya. So the Tziv says that's what the Gemara Ksuvos means, that someone from Bavel is better than someone from Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael, you're relying on siyata d'shmaya, on this incredible clarity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. In Bavel, you really do doing it on your own. You're really building from scratch. But someone who comes from Bavel and goes to Eretz Yisrael, someone who's trained in the ways of Bavel, who's trained in the ways of being able to build up a sugya, and then he goes to Eretz Yisrael and experiences that clarity and that siyata d'shmaya of avira da'ara machkim, of the clarity of Eretz Yisrael, so then he has an incredible advantage, because he's able to build it from scratch, and not only just know what the bottom line is going to be at the end. Maybe that's part of the reference also, that it's choshech, that you don't have that clarity, you don't have that that light in the learning where you're able to just see directly right at the cause, and you sort of have to feel around a little bit more in the darkness. You're mashmesh in the choshech, you have to feel around in the darkness in order to find your way, and that's the style of the Talmud Bavli. Perhaps I don't think the Netziv, I don't think makes that point, connects it to choshech, but maybe we can suggest something like that. Okay, third possibility of what the resolution of the two brisos might be. V'iba yisema, says the Gemara, hava b'kachi kachim. Maybe both the brisa that tells me that you're not allowed to eat kachim while the Mishkan was in transit, and the brisa that seems to tell me you are allowed to eat kachim while the Mishkan is in transit, are both talking about kachi kachim. Umay b'shnei mekomos, what does the second brisa mean then when it says you're allowed to eat the kachi kachim even while the Mishkan is even in two places? So it sounds like even while the Mishkan is in transit, while the Mizbeach is not there. So no, kodim shi'amidu levi'im es ha-mishkan, ula'achar shi'yifriku el-levi'im es ha-mishkan. One is before, literally translated, before the Levi'im put up the Mishkan, and one is after the Levi'im take down the Mishkan. Meaning, the point being, and we'll see how to exactly translate these words according to Rashi, but the point is, both are talking in Shnei Mekomos means in two situations where the Mizbeach is still in its place. It's talking about whether the Mishkan is necessary to eat the Kachay Kachim. Mizbeach, certainly, the Mizbeach is in its place. The Mishkan, though, might have been taken down already, and the Mizbeach is still there. So that, but the Mizbeach, certainly, you're going to need, and therefore these brises are not going to be Akasha. And Rabbi Yossi, we'll just read a couple of lines, then we'll go back to explain what that means. Kodem shi'amidu and la'ach shi'afriku. So says Gemara, ma'u detema ifsulahu biyotzei. Oh, I might have thought that it's psul yotzei, like we pointed out before, that while the Mishkan is in transit, that's called that there's no Mishkan, and it's psul yotzei that the kachim is outside of the mikdash. So I might have thought that kamash mulan, therefore comes tell me that it's not so. Says Gemara, ve'ima hachinami. Well, why not? It sounds like a very reasonable thing, that if you take down the Mishkan, so now it was yotzei in the Mishkan. You could take it away from the Mishkan, and the Mishkan away from it. Either way, it's not in the Mishkan anymore. So says Gemara, no. Amar Kravin Nasa Ol Moed. Afal Pisha Nasa Ol Moed Hu. That even while it's traveling, still has a din of Ol Moed. Even while the Mishkan was in transit, still had a din of Ol Moed. Still had a din of Kedushas Machne Levi, of the Kedusha of the Machne of the Shechina. So it had that status of the Mishkan. So therefore it does not have a Psul Yotzei, and that's what we said before, that the Braisa said you send the Zavim and Mitzrayim away even while traveling, because the Zavim and Mitzrayim are not allowed to be in the Machne Shechina, not even allowed to be in Machne Levi, and for Mitzrayim they're not even allowed to be in Machne Sol. But the point is, they're certainly not allowed to be in the Machne Shechina, and this has a din of the Machne Shechina. So now, what do I keep referring to when I say we'll see how to translate these words? What's the problem with the translations of these words? We said that kodem shiyamdu levim es mishkan and la'achar shiyifriku es mishkan. One is before the Mishkan is put up, one is after it's put down, so it's taken down. So the point is that both of these situations, the Gemara is trying to say, are situations where the Mizbeach is in its place. But nevertheless, one is before they put up the Mishkan, so it sounds like the Mizbeach is in its place, then they put up the Mishkan around it, and the Achar Shiyifriku sounds like the Mizbeach remains in its place when they take the Mishkan down. So Rashi just points out that's not how they did it. That's not the Metzias. That's not how they actually traveled. They didn't have Mizbeach first in place, then build the Mishkan around it, keep the Mizbeach in place while they took the Mishkan down, and then move the Mizbeach. That's not how it worked. Rashi points out, Shnei Mekomos, Lav La'achar Shenasu Dinestali Kamizbeach Ka'amar. Doesn't mean after they traveled where the Mizbeach was gone. Well, that's just Rashi explaining Pashpashan. It means one of them, that like we said, the Mishkan could still be there. One of them is talking about while the Mishkan is still in its place. One of the brises is talking about while everything's in place, Mishkan and Mizbeach, and the other's talking about where only Mizbeach in place, but the Mishkan has already been removed. So now right away over there, Rashi already said, wait a second, what are the two situations? Not before they put up the Mishkan and after they've removed the Mishkan. The way you translate the Gemara, it sounds like it's saying one of the situations of the Mizbeach in this place is while the Mizbeach is already intact, but they haven't yet built the Mishkan around it. And the other is where the Mishkan has already been dismantled, but the Mizbeach stays in its place. Says Rashi, no, that's not what it's talking about. One is talking about a case where the Mishkan and Mizbeach are intact. Everything's intact. That's one of the brises. That's one of the makomos, rather, that the brisa talks about. The other makom that the brisa talks about is where the Mishkan has already been taken down while the Mizbeach remained in its place. What's missing? The Gemara never meant to say, Rashi says, that there's a case where the Mizbeach has been set up and the Mishkan has not yet been set up around it. That was never discussed. We discussed a case where the Mishkan and the Mizbeach are both set up, and where the Mishkan has already been removed, but the Mizbeach has not yet been removed. We have never discussed the case. The Gemara never meant to say that there's such a thing as Mizbeach in its place before the Levium are mamid the Mishkan around it. Aye, but the Gemara uses those words. So says Rashi, the Kodim she'amidu Levium es Mishkan. The words that the Gemara uses before the Levium built the Mishkan around it. Dinakatacha, that the choice of words the Gemara has is over here, lav davka nakat. It doesn't really mean that. Chadot lo mishkachla. He says, most fundamentally, because that doesn't happen. It never happened that way, that the Mizbeach was in place and then they built the Mishkan around it. And he says, I'll show you why not. Shari kodim sheyachnu b'nei kahas nosei ha-mizbechos, before the b'nei kahas, who were the nosei ha-mizbechos, who carried the Mizbeach, rested, encamped, hayuchonim b'nei garshom rari nosei ha-mishkan. Those carrying the Mishkan encamped first. Umekimenoso, and therefore those leading the pack, the ones carrying the Mishkan, first erected the Mishkan, and then the Mizbeach went inside the Mishkan. So you never had a situation where the Mizbeach was set up and then the Mishkan was built around it. No, it was the Mishkan that was set up and then the Mizbeach put inside of it. Ubinasiyasam, now when they traveled, when they left, Hoimaridinasa Mishkan Tchila, then they would take down the Mishkan first. Vinosin B'nei Gershon Umrari Achar Degal Echad U'B'nei Kahas Achar Shnei Degalim, and Gershon Umrari would lead, they would carry the Mishkan ahead, and then the people carrying the Mizbeach Kahas would go behind. K'deshu Yukod B'nei Gershon B'chani Yasan U'ma'midinas Mishkan L'fnei Bo B'nei Kahas, and the purpose of that was so that Gershon Umrari, who were carrying the Mishkan, should get there first to the next location and build the Mishkan, and then the B'nei Kahas will put the Mizbechos inside of it. K'deksiv Achar Masa Degal B'nei Yehuda V'ur HaMishkan So as the Pesukim say it explicitly, that the B'nei Kahas came in after two Degalim, and they were carrying the Mizbechos and the Klei Sharis. And first the B'nei Gershon would build the Mishkan. So that's number one reason why it can't really mean, when our Gemara says, before the Levim were Mamed the Mishkan, it can't mean that we're talking about where the Mizbeach is in place before the Mishkan was built. That never happened. Va'od, ibisheshinu es haseder. So maybe you'll say, well, maybe it wasn't supposed to happen. A lot of things that aren't supposed to happen end up happening. So maybe it wasn't supposed to happen that they were going to put up the Mizbeach before the Mishkan. But maybe they were Mishana the Seder, and that's what they did. So maybe you're going to tell me that's what the Gemara means? Well, then, hechi shachti karbonos kodem sheyamidu Mishkan. That can't be. Because you're not allowed to shecht karbonos before the Mishkan is put up. You can't tell me, oh, there's a Mizbeach, and we're going to discuss Dinim of Kachim Kalim and Kachay Kachim. Kachay Kachim is what we're talking about now. They're going to discuss Dinim of Kachay Kachim in relation to that Mizbeach, and it's talking about before there's a Mishkan. He says, not true. You can't shecht any karbanos before the Mishkan is put up. Why? Because of the sugya we learned a week ago. Ha'amar Bezim Mekomen B'shlam Sheshachtan Kodim She'amidu Levim Psulin V'igaras L'mukulah B'shashinu Esaseder. Meaning that we said that that shlamim that are shechted before they open the doors, right? That's possible. So if you don't have a mishkan there, then I don't care that you have a mizbeach. It's going to be possible. Says Rashi, "Va'udezu mekoman shlamim davka ka'amar mishum d'chsibu v'shachtu peschol moed v'oyal v'shar kachim minayu." Says Rashi, very important chiddush we discussed when we learned the sugya, that which we say in ezu mekoman, that without a pesach ol moed, without opening the doors, you're not allowed to do any of the shechita. That's only talking about a karban shlamim. Other karbanos you're allowed to shecht before opening the doors. It's dafka shlamim that we say that about. Now we alluded to this Tosfos, so we did that sugya. The Tosfos at the bottom of the page, Tosfos quotes Rashi over here. He quotes our Rashi in full, and at the end that shlamim dafka k'sivu v'shachtu pesach olam oed. He said it calls that pirush Rashi, and about the fifth line of Tosfos, Dibur Maskel Kodim, he says v'kashali hatnan gavei tamid, and we pointed out this question. The Gemara Masech, the Mishnah Masech Tamid says lo ha'yishochet ad sheshama shara gadol sheniftach, that they wouldn't shecht the karban tamid until they heard the large gates opening up. Alma Yalfin and Shar Karbanos Shein Shach the Mishlamim. What you see from there, though, is that they wouldn't even shach the Karban Tamid, which is not a Shlamim, it's an Ola. And they wouldn't even shach the Karban Tamid until the gates were open. So how could Rashi tell me that it's only a Din Shlamim that you're not allowed to shach until the gates are open? Over here you see Beferish, in Mishnah Tamid you see Beferish, who's even about the Karban Tamid, which is a Karban Ola, that you're not allowed to shach until the gates are open. So Tos says, and don't tell me it's only Din Rabbanan. He says, okay, I'll hold back and forth. So how do you defend Rashi? How could a person possibly defend Rashi? You see Beferish by Tamid that the gates need to be open. So there are two possible yeshuvim that we learned. I don't know if we mentioned them last time. We may not have had time. This is a short daf. We have a little more time. The Briska Rav writes that there is a din. You're right, Ein Echidami. There is a din that you need the gates to be open in order to do the Karban Tamid. But that's not because we learn Ola from Shlamim that every Karban Ola needs the gates to be open. That's a din in Karban Tamid. He's medayik from the Rambam. The Rambam writes that the Seder HaTamid is, and he describes the entire avodah of the Tamid, and he starts with the opening of the gates. That meaning, whenever you say the Seder HaTamid, what you're telling me is that this is not a general din in all Karbanos Ola. This is a din dafka in Karban Tamid. That part of the requirements of Karban Tamid is to open up the gates. Nothing to do with a regular Karban Ola. So maybe Rashi will tell you, Ein Achinami. Yes, there's such a din by a Karban Tamid, but that's a different din than the din you have by Karban Shlamim. It's not that by Karban Shlamim we learn from Karban Shlamim to every other Karban that you need Psichas Ohel, that you need the opening of the gates. No, it's Dafka din by Shlamim, and there also is a separate din by Tamid, that part of the Seder Tamid is to have the opening of the gates. That's one Yishuv suggested. The other way to be Miyashiv is the Nitziv. The Nitziv writes that this whole Machlokas, whether you need the Psichas Olasos for the Karbanos Ola, let's say, is only in regards to the Shechita of the Karban. But in regards to the Zrikas Adam, everyone would hold, you do need the gates to be open. So he says, yeah, you know why they opened the gates before the Karban Tamid? Even though they did it before the Shechita, but it wasn't really primarily for the Shechita, it was to allow for the Zrika. It's just that they would want to do, take off the Shechita Zrika, they would want to do the Zrika right away, right after the Shechita, and it would be a big hassle to do the Shechita, then open the gates, then do the Zrika. So they would just wait on the Shechita until they heard the gates opening. When they heard the gates opening, okay, so that's when they would do the Shechita. But it's not because of the Shechita, it's because of the Zrika. And by Zrika Kuliyam Lopligi, says the Nitziv, in his parish on Chumash, by the Zrika Kuliyam Lopligi, you certainly need the gates to be open. But be that as it may, the main point of Rashi was that the terminology the Gemara uses over here is not 100% precise. All we're trying to say is that the Shnei Mekomos that we speak about, that you're allowed to eat Kachi Kachim, is not talking about while the Mizbeach is out of place. It's either while the Mizbeach and Mishkan are in place, or while the Mizbeach is in place but the Mishkan has already been taken apart. But if you don't have the Mizbeach, then certainly Kachim may not be eaten. Kachi Kachim may not be eaten. Kachim Kalim also may not be eaten. Rabbi Yossi may be 100% correct that Kachi Kalim also may not be eaten, but what you don't have is a raya from those two brises against Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so says the Gemara, we are now five lines in on Daf Samach Aleph and Beis. Amrav unamrav, Mizbeach shel Shiloh shel Avanim haya. The Mizbeach of Shiloh was made out of Avanim, meaning the Mizbeach of the Mishkan in Shiloh. While the Mishkan resided in Shiloh, the Mizbeach that they used was out of Avanim. Now, what's important to realize over here is that the Mizbeach of Shlomo HaMelech we know was made out of Avanim. The Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu we know was made out of Nechoshes, was not made out of Avanim. So the question is, all those hundreds of years that we still had the Mishkan, but we were in Eretz Yisrael. So what was the Mizbeach made out of? Did they just still use the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu until Shlomo came and replaced it, or did they have some other type of makeshift mizbeach? So he says, no, the mizbeach was not the mizbeach of Moshe; it was a mizbeach made out of avanim. Titanya Reb Lozer ben Yaakov Omer, Matam Lomer Avanim, 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 Shalosh Pamim. Why does it say in the Psukim the term avanim three times? So come to teach me Echad Shel Shiloh, Vechad Shel Novi Givon, Ubeis Olamim. one time Avanim to tell me that the Mizbeach of Shiloh was made out of Avanim, another time tell me that while the Mishkan was in Nova Givon, that's also considered made out of Avanim, and Nova Givon counts as one, doesn't count as two. Rashi points out in the first skinny line, Chad Chashav Luhu Deshnei and Bama Vein Kedoshim. They're both considered a Bama, they're not fully Kodesh, and therefore they're considered as one unit. And one, the Beis Alamim. When you had the Beis Alamim, which is another name for the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaBechira, Beis Alamim, we're familiar with a lot of different names for the Beis HaMikdash, so the Beis Alamim is also needed a Mizbeach of Avanim. But that's his Kiddush, that while the Mishkan was in Shiloh, it already had a Mizbeach of Avanim. So, Frak the Gemara, Masav Ravacha Bar Ami, Eish Shiyarda Min HaShemayim Bimei Moshe, Lo Nistalka Me'al Mizbeach, Anachosha Sala Bimei Shlomo, the fire that came down from Shemayim in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that same fire continued and did not leave until the days of Shlomo HaMelech. What about when they traveled? Came down in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they kept on saying, we just discussed, they took apart the Mishkan and they traveled with it. What happened with the fire while they were traveling? So Rashi says it was a traveling fire. Lo nistalka shebishas ha-masa'os kofen lof psachtar u'menichnos ha-bimakoma. They actually had some sort of cleat to cover the fire, I guess, that it shouldn't damage anything or that it shouldn't blow out from the wind. Must have had some holes on the top to allow for air so that the fire wouldn't be put out. But they had some sort of cleat that they would cover over the fire with. And yeah, that same fire, it's remarkable. A fire coming down from heaven is supposed to be remarkable, I think. But so that fire that came down from heaven remained intact throughout all that time until Shlomo HaMelech came so many years later and built the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'isha yardu bimei Shlomo, and then when a new fire came down from heaven in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, lo nistalka ad shabam Menashe v'silka. It didn't leave until Menashe came and made it leave. Menashe, the wicked King Menashe came and ruined it. Vim Isa, but wait a second, if you're going to tell me that already in the days of Shiloh they switched Mizbechos, they switched from the Mizbeach HaNechoshos of Moshe Rabbeinu to a new Mizbeach HaVanim, they upgraded to or whatever, and they changed to Mizbeach HaVanim, so Meikaru Distalikle, what do you mean that same fire was there from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? It had to have changed because they moved over to a new Mizbeach, they moved over to a Mizbeach HaVanim. If you look at Rashi, Avimisa Meikaru Distalikle, Shuhukam HaMishkan B'Shiloh, Banu Mizbeach HaVanim, Huskal Distalikle, Mizbeach HaNechoshos. Didn't the fire have to leave the Mizbeach Shel Nechoshes and go to the Mizbeach of Avanim when they built the new Mizbeach of Avanim in Shiloh, when they established the Mishkan in Shiloh? So says Gemara, Huda Amar Krabi Nasan. Maybe Rav Huna is assuming like Rav Nassan. Rav Huna, who says that the Mizbeach was made out of Avanim, is assuming like a Das Yachad Rabbi Nassan. Not everyone agrees to. The Tanya Rabbi Nassan Omer, Mizbeach Shel Shiloh, Shel Nechoshes Haya Chalul L'Malei Avanim. That Rabbi Nassan holds that the Mizbeach of Shiloh was Nechoshes on the outside, and it was hollow, and the hollow space was filled in with Avanim. So Rav Huna holds like Rabbi Nassan. But Eino Chinami, most of us would not hold like Rabbi Nassan, meaning that those that say that it was the fire, the same fire of Moshe Rabbeinu that continued in the days of, until the days of Shlomo, Lechor would not be like Rabbi Nassim. So Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok Amar, now Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok says, I have a better way to answer it. He says, you know what it means that the fire didn't leave? Milo Nistalka, Lo Nistalka Levatla. No one was ever Mevatal the fire. No one ever got rid of it permanently. So what exactly happened with the fire? So we're saying this fire was still there on some level from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, yet we had a new Mizbeach. So how did that work exactly? How did the fire from Hashem burn the stuff on the new Mizbeach of Avanim in Shiloh if the fire was on the Mizbeach of Nechoshes? So he says, what exactly went on? Rabbanan Amar, Shviva Hava Meshadra. It's really remarkable that a spark would come out. They kept the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu right there next to the Mizbeach of Avanim. It's not that they replaced it, because we learned yesterday, that they did replace the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu only when Shlomo HaMelech came along. So even if you're going to say that there was a Mizbeach Avanim already from the times of Shiloh, the Pesukim are Mefurash that Shlomo HaMelech was the one to replace the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was there. The Mizbeach of Nechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu was there. It's just that they also used, or they primarily used, a Mizbeach Avanim that they built right next to the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a whole different setup in Mishkan Shiloh. And what happened? Anytime they needed that fire, that heavenly fire to burn the Korbanos, a spark would shoot out from the Mizbeach and the Choshes, zap the whatever was on the Mizbeach of Avanim, and would burn it there. A spark would come and would burn it there on the Mizbeach of Avanim. Unbelievable that's how it worked. But it all started with the fire that remained from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu on the Mizbeach of Nechoshes. Rav Papa Amar, Ushpiza v'nakad, v'zim n'hacha, v'zim n'hacha. Rav Papa says something also pretty remarkable, that no, it wasn't that a spark would come out, it was that the fire would jump back and forth. Sometimes it would stay on the Mizbeach of Nechoshes, and then the whole fire would just jump right over to the Mizbeach of Avan, and we're back and forth, and it was just like it would spend some time there, and then before going back. But it was the same fire. Fire that came from heaven, times of Moshe Rabbeinu, that was the fire that stayed throughout. Okay, Tanan Hasam. We have a Mishnah. Ukshalu b'nei Agola, hosifu alav dalid amos min adarom, v'dalid min amarav k'min gama. That when the b'nei Agola came to Yerushalayim, they added on space to the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach wasn't big enough. So they added on 4 amos on the southern side and 4 amos on the western side, like an L. That's the Greek letter shaped like as a right angle, right? That's the shape of the letter. So meaning on the south side and the western side, connected to each other, perpendicular to each other. Rash says Gamma Gimel Yevanis Asuya Kamin Kaf Pshuta Shalanu Kedepricious Darum Umarev. Right, so it's made like a chaf pshuta, a straightened out kaf, I think is what chaf pshuta means, because it sounds like an L, not like a chaf. It must be a straightened out like a chaf sofis. So that's what they added on. Now my time, but why did they add on to the mizbeach when they came up? So I'm Rav Yosef Mishum de lo sipek, because there wasn't enough room on the mizbeach. They needed to burn so many korbanos, and the mizbeach wasn't that large that it could burn all that many korbanos. Now recall, we just learned that Shlomo Melch set up a mizbeach and first set up the Beis Hamikdash. First day, he burnt 142,000 korbanos in a single day. So the Gemara says, really, there wasn't enough room during the days of Bayisheni. How many korbanos were they burning? Shlomo Melch had plenty of room to burn 142,000 korbanos. So the Gemara doesn't exactly phrase it that way. The Gemara says, even regularly during the Bayis Rishon, the Mizbeach must have been so much more busy than it was during the Bayis Sheni. Amar le Abaye, Hashem Mikdash Rishon, Tchsiv Bei, Yehud of Yisrael, Rabim Kechol Asher Alayam, that Yehud of Yisrael, the numbers of Jews who were around in the Beis HaMikdash during the Bayis Rishon were Rabim Kechol Asher Alayam. They were like the sand by the sea. Lerov Ochlim Shosum Smei, from the Pasuk goes on to say, all the people who were eating from the Basar Kachim. So there were so many korbanos that were being brought during the Bayis Rishon and Sipik, and that was plenty of room. The Mizbeach was fine then. But then Mikdash Sheni Dichsiv Bei, Kol Kahal Ke'echad Arba Ribo Lo Sipek. Well, in the Bayis Sheni, where it says that the entire numbers of the Jewish people were minimal, that the amount of people that were back in Eretz Yisrael during the times of the Bayis Sheni was minimal, right? Ezra tried to get everyone to come back from Bavel, and no one wanted to come. No one was interested in coming. As we discussed, the Levim didn't come. Levim didn't show up, and that's why they had to make a knas that the Levim no longer get Maaser Rishon, because they didn't deserve it. They didn't come back to Eretz Yisrael. Who came back? The Nebuchs came back. The people with nothing, with no yichus, that's who really came back. Very few people came back. And Lo Sipek, and now all of a sudden the Mizbeach wasn't big enough. When you had Rovam and you had everybody there, so the Mizbeach was plenty big. Now all of a sudden you have the Bayis Sheni and very few people are back, and all of a sudden they needed to add on to the Mizbeach. It wasn't big enough. So says Gemara, it's exactly right. Amar lei hasam eish shel shamayim misayatan. Hacha ein eish shel shamayim misayatan. Big difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Shlomo Melech had an Eish min haShemayim that came down to replace the Eish of Moshe Rabbeinu that burnt all the korbanos. That fire was not a normal fire. It was zapping things left and right. It was able to burn things so quickly. So much so that we pointed out the other day, 142,000 korbanos in a single day. Not bad, right? A regular normal fire obviously can't do that. So in the Bayis Sheni, they needed more room because they had to use regular fire. Kiyasa Rav and Amar Shimon ben Pazi Mishum Bar Kapara Shisin Osifu. He said, no, they added Shisin, the pipes that you pour the Nesachim into at the bottom that go straight down out of Tahom. Right, they're supposed to go all the way out of Tahom to like the core of the earth. So Meikar Savram Mizbeach Adama Shu Atum Ba'Adama. Originally, the Shisin were away from the Mizbeach. They weren't really part of the Mizbeach, because they originally thought when it says Mizbeach Adama, it means that it has to be closed up like ground, and you can't have anything, any holes that go all the way down. And then they realized that just like the Achila of the Mizbeach is that the meat gets totally consumed, the Emurim, the limbs get totally consumed, and the fats get totally consumed, so too whatever the Mizbeach drinks, the wine and the oil that you pour in the Mizbeach also should be totally consumed, should be gone. It should, you know, on the Mizbeach. So my Mizbeach Adama, what do they then do with the words Mizbeach Adama? Doesn't it mean that it has to be Atum Kadama, that it has to be closed? How were they able to expand to include the Shisin in the Mizbeach? So Shumachubar Adama, no, Mizbeach Adama means that it should be attached to the ground. Just to tell you not to build the Mizbeach removed high up off the ground like on stilts or something, or on poles, nor to have it over tunnels that are underground by the Mizbeach. We said there were tunnels by the Beis HaMikdash, but they couldn't have been under where the Mizbeach was, because that's what we learned from Mizbeach Adama. Okay, but we'll pick up from there tomorrow.